In your face.
Absolutely rapt to have Anna Lum back in the studio to talk about Queen Machine that's happening for Melbourne Fringe. Wow, what's it all about?
Queen Machine, yes. It's about me. It's autobiographical. It's actually a sequel to my first solo show. Not my first solo show, but my first autobiographical solo show that premiered in 2019 in the Melbourne Fringe called Hard to Reach Places. So in Queen Machine, I sort of carry on from that story, but I was thinking about this in the car on the way here. In Hard to Reach Places, I talked about a lot about balancing parenting and showbiz. And in that show, I also kind of talk about wanting to remain visible in my 40s as a performer and keep on doing it. And I feel like in a way, I sort of must have unleashed a sort of disaster demon, because a few months later, we were obviously thrust into lockdown. And then that all happened. And this show really sort of picks up, I guess, after lockdown. And I guess the provocation for it really is a pretty intense injury that happened to me about a year out of lockdown. So should I tell you about it? Or?
Well, do you want to talk about it?
I mean, sure. It's kind of the provocation for the work. It's the premise for it. Excuse me while I have a little sip of water.
Yeah, sure.
So it's basically what happened was about a year out of lockdown, I was sort of recovering, you know. I actually had a baby in lockdown, which...
Wow.
Yeah. I did it in the guise of, you know, the cover of lockdown. So I went in barely showing, you know, grew the child, had the baby, and then came out fairly recovered, but with another little kid. So that happened. So all that to say, a year out of lockdown, I was kind of recovering from having a second baby and getting myself back into showbiz and getting fit, you know, along with all the other arts community, I guess, and industry, who took a huge hit during that time. So a year out of lockdown, I was kind of feeling like I'm back. I'm really fit. I've got lots of gigs on the horizon. And I was doing a show and I did a great show. I came out, I was rocking on myself. You know, I thought, I'm back. I'm here again. I've landed, you know. After this huge time, and we were sort of mucking around after the show, and I just decided to jump off something, and I landed so horrifically off balance. I kind of sort of crumple rolled to the floor, and when I sat up, my foot was just totally incorrect, like a mannequin put back together the wrong way is how I describe it. And so I was just like, what have I done? And when I finally made it to the surgeon, they basically told me I'd blown it out like a tire. There was nothing connecting my foot to my leg anymore. It's sort of, when you look down, it kind of looks like an empty sock, which was just such a horrific blow, I think, after, you know, after going through lockdown, after everything that happened to our industry, after losing all our work, and then coming back and sort of really fighting hard to get back in the game, and then, you know, sort of injuring myself right at the starting line, I guess. So it was quite devastating. And I went into, you know, there was like a period of, obviously I had to have surgery, that to reconstruct the ankle with a lot of titanium and screws and eyelets and pulleys to reconnect the ligaments. And it was quite a huge ordeal, and I, you know, couldn't walk, had to learn how to walk again, and, you know, lots of rehab. And obviously it had a pretty detrimental effect to my practice. And I think where Queen Machine comes in is I was... You know, I think in order to deal with the injury a little bit, I joked about how I was, you know, a bionic woman. How I'd been sort of upgraded and modified, and I have this crazy titanium in my ankle now. And in a way, I think it became a way to sort of deal with the injury and empower myself or reframe it. Do you know what I mean? Like, to make myself feel like it was not so much defective, but that I was now kind of superhuman, like a fembot. Yeah.
What a full-on experience. Yes. And I mean where do we go with that?
I know, it's a lot, I know.
But it's testament to your powers of healing that you healed so well.
Yeah, I mean I sort of it's a funny thing, like certainly it's definitely changed my practice. Like, I'm not doing some of the things that I used to do. But yeah, it's sort of I don't know. I think you lean into stuff, and it's kind of made me really sort of focus on other things or other ways in which I can perform. And I'm still doing the physical stuff. I should should tell everyone I'm not completely retired or anything. I'm back, and in fact, the ankle is stronger than ever before because as my physio reminded me, it's like invincible now. It's not going to break again. Do you know what I mean? There's so much metal in there, and that kind of felt like a really interesting and fun premise to make work out of, and also just a nice way to kind of carry on from my previous work. You know, like so much has happened in those 6 years, and it just felt like the right time to make a show, I guess.
And what a metaphor for the industry, what happened to the performing arts industry, you know, with all the lockdowns and literally, you know, trying to piece itself back together again.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is kind of fun, right, as well, because when I was doing my research and thinking about, you know, the idea of the fembot, immediately I'm recalling kind of images of Austin Powers, you know, bikini bots and the Stepford Wives. And even when I was a kid, that movie Weird Science. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and just, you know, there were always like fembots named Cherry 2000 or Delilah 500, you know. So it felt like there was a lot of, you know, cultural references I could make and a bit of fun to be had. But also more recently for me, the idea of fembots being kind of empowered and becoming autonomous. And, you know, there's the Ghost in the Shell or Ex Machina or Westworld are really good examples of that. It's sort of like, you know, originally, I guess, or initially, fembots to me were kind of really over-sexualized and very kind of, you know, submit or passive, like doing all the kind of domestic roles. And then more recently, they've seemed to have kind of become more, you know, autonomous and powerful and, you know, seeking revenge in some instances. So that felt kind of like a fun way to sort of, you know, frame my story around that.
It's kind of camp too, isn't it? There's something really camp about
which
this.
Which I love.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you elaborate a bit on it? Like the campness?
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of like the aesthetic is so cool, right? I just like the idea of, you know, how that might inform my movement or the looks or the costume or even the soundtrack. Like there's so much to be mined there. So I've just been poring over, you know, lots of, movies and sort of filmic references and just kind of that aesthetic feel. But the other thing I just wanted to like digress for a second as well, because I was just like reading through my own notes before I came on and just the idea of metal itself, right? Titanium. When I Google searched it, I found out that titanium lasts for 100,000 years.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's amazing, right? And it's stronger than steel. Apparently, it's found in sunscreen, toothpaste, makeup. And guess, get this, it doesn't melt in a crematorium.
Oh, my God.
I know. So I'm going to be around forever in some form or another.
It's really frightening, isn't it, that, you know, that's where the world's gone, that we're on the verge of, you know, destroying the planet, but there'll be aspects of it that could potentially live forever.
But it's so crazy because I have this image of myself, like, you know, when the time comes, you know, if I'm in having, you know, gone through the process of being in a crematorium, just being this kind of little pile of nuts and bolts. And then I researched a little bit further and I actually found out that they recycle those parts, right? So I might go back into someone else and just live on forever.
Wow. So, oh, my gosh.
I know. I just kind of thought that was sort of a weird and interesting fact, you know, in addition to all the pop culture stuff, which is also fun, but
just on that camp note we were talking about, the name Queen Machine.
Yes.
Tell us a bit more about that.
Well, I feel like, yes, there's camp aspects, but in a bit more of a practical sense, the way I've sort of the language that I've used in the show, it really reminds me of being a reconditioned car. You know, or like, you know, something that's been like refurbished or even like a secondhand laptop.
Which is so trippy because your last show was in a car, in a Beamer,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I know. And I think it's sort of obviously carried on that theme. Like it's obviously floating around in my subconsciousness, informing some of this show. But yeah, I just couldn't help but compare myself to like, you know, yeah, like an upgraded, refurbished car. You know, like I've got a bit of mileage on the system, but I've got new tires. You know what I mean? Like it's sort of, there's kind of a really nice metaphor to that, I think, and where I'm at in my career and my age, and you know, what I'm kind of trying to do and apply to my life with this new me, you know, this new body, this new modification.
Because you're doing lots, right? You've got stuff on at Grouse, for example, yeah?
Yeah, sorry. So I will actually, I'm popping up in Moulin Beige. I'm popping up at Fringe Flavors, so I've been doing that as well. I'm performing, but I'm also doing a little bit of DJing, which is nice around
really?
The Fringe. So, yeah, popping up here and there. But the show, I'm really looking forward to it. It's in the third week, and so I've got a little bit more time to kind of get it together. But, it's that crunch time for Fringe artists right now. I feel like it's probably palpable with everyone that comes into the studio. It's like 2 weeks out and we're all kind of like, all right, let's go. It's coming up. You know?
You could really feel it. Yeah. Tell us about the DJ.
Oh, my gosh. I'm moonlight as a DJ, and I've totally got imposter syndrome around it, but I keep getting booked, so I must be okay at it. But, I just picked it up as a side hustle, I guess, because, you know, the gig economy at the moment, it's pretty challenging for physical performers, particularly post-COVID. So, I kind of do that. I also just recently took a job at – this is my first real job in, I think, forever, since my early 20s, since I started full-time performance. I took a job at Bakehouse Studios. Do you know Bakehouse?
I've heard of them, but I don't know.
It's like an awesome rock metal music studio, and it's for rehearsal and recording, really. So I've taken a job there, and that's kind of been, a sort of it's arts adjacent, I guess. So I'm now learning how to set up drum kits and like bump in bands and, you know, sort the PA. And it's kind of, I feel like the DJing stuff has kind of informed that job as well. So, it's been an interesting period, but I also am not to give away, like not to give you spoilers, but I do talk a little bit about that and use that kind of in the show a little bit, which is, yeah, it's fun. There's a bit of a rock element, let's
fantastic.
Just say, in now, the show.
I've got to ask too, I mean, speaking of fun, Maude Davies doing the dramaturgy for Queen Machine.
Oh, my gosh, yes. But you know what? She's doing it online because guess where she is?
Where?
She's in New Zealand filming a horror movie.
Oh, wow. Maude Davies in a horror movie.
Yeah. And it's I'm so excited for it. But it meant that she physically couldn't be here in the room with me. So I did the next best thing and drove to Albury to work with Annie Davies, her twin sister.
Oh, my God.
I know. So she's got like a backup.
That is so cool. Now, I've got to ask, what's Maude's horror movie like?
I don't think I'm allowed to say too much about it. That said, and I feel terrible because I can't remember the title, she did post something like a little kind of teaser, just like an image recently on her Instagram, so you'll probably have to go there to find it. But it sounds like there's a lot of, what do you call it? Forgive me, what's the name? You know, artifice, makeup, special effects.
Yeah, all that stuff.
She's kind of been transformed, I think, into quite an interesting character. And I've just been probably more excited than she is that she's doing it. I think horror is going through such a kind of, you know, it's very on trend at the moment. There's a lot of horror.
Absolutely. Queer horror. Yeah.
It's a thing at the moment.
It's totally a thing.
Yeah, especially body horror as well, right?
Well, so, body transformation queen machine.
But, yeah, exactly. It all kind of feeds in, I reckon. So,
Happening October 15 to 19 at Trades Hall in the Quilt Room for Melbourne Fringe.
That's correct.
And Alum, thanks so much for joining us today at 3CR.
Come and see the show.
In Your Face would like to thank Thorn Harbour Health for their sponsorship of this program. Thorn Harbour Health envisions a future where our LGBTIQ+ communities and people living with HIV are healthy and live safely with dignity and well-being. To find out more, search for Thorn Harbour Health online.